Small Town Scuttlebutt is not sponsored by anybody yet. Small Town Scuttlebutt is now offering a special introductory sponsorship for only $1 per episode. Get in with these guys now and support America's only podcast called Small Town Scuttlebutt. Just email their manager, Leanne Bravo, at Bravo One. That's Bravo One at smalltownscuttlebutt.com.
Okay, now we talked about this. Don't make me reduce your screen time. Now, into the microphone.
All right, Leslie, I'll do it. Hi, my name is Rick Fink Jr. Thank you for coming here today for this announcement. I address you all today as a well-intentioned neighbor and goodwill ambassador in the community. While some of you have expressed appreciation for my divergent viewpoints on social media, some of you have expressed...
You're not done yet. I'm going to revoke your laptop privileges if you don't do this.
Yeah, okay, fine. So for that, I want to sincerely apologize to you, my neighbors and fellow citizens, every single one of you. My endeavor to amuse and entertain the masses by lampooning the ideas of others that I perceived to be hypocritical on the town's social media sites has lost its effectiveness. And therefore, I...
Go on.
All right. Therefore, as I stand here with my wife by my side, her insistence, not mine, I announce today that I am... retiring from
antagonizing, you idiot.
Antagonizing people on the internet. Thank you.
Small Town Scuttlebutt is the show where we find out what the people have to say. Traffic lights that are timer on makes my 109 way long. CVS receipts are wasteful. Facebook posts that are not tasteful. Small Town Scuttlebutt. That is Rick. He's a daddy. Wrote those posts that drove you mad. I am Mike. I work with kids. I do the things you wish you did. Rick does stand-up, stays at home.
Mike, you're a nerd. You live alone.
We'll both tell you how to live. So much advice we have to give.
We made this podcast just for you.
Here is Rick Fink Jr. and Mike Page.
All right, guys. Glad we got that over. I mean it sincerely. Welcome to another episode of Small Town Scuttlebutt. I am Rick Fink Jr. and this is Mike Page across the table from me in my basement. How's it going, Mike?
It's going great. Rick, can I just say, I'm impressed with you, man. I'm pretty proud of you, Rick. It's not easy to apologize, and that was really mature of you, almost.
Well,
I mean, a couple words there that you had a hard time with, but that's okay.
You know, well, you and my wife wrote it, and
yeah,
you know,
weren't supposed to tell people that, but it's okay.
Oh, that's right. Well, I do mean it.
But you did read the words almost really well, and we appreciate that. We applaud you for it.
Thanks, pal. Mm-hmm. I just feel like we can move on to bigger and brighter things. This whole quarantine, I was like, I got to do something. So
yeah,
that's what this podcast will be. We are taking our message onto a podcast. That's all. We're just finding a new medium. And if you like what I've had to say in the past, then you know where to find me. And if you despise what I've had to say in the past,
working on them, folks.
you don't have to worry about me. And you guys just keep doing you on your social media. I just wish you the best. Okay, so what do we got going on today, Michael? It's our third intro episode. In the first episode, we talked about the show, the town of Medfield, a little bit about what we kind of want to do.
Yep.
But then the last episode, we got to know you.
Yeah, second episode was way too much about me.
Yeah, but it was important that we know you because your stories were interesting and fun. And we didn't do a super deep dive. We just need to topically know, hey, man, where are you from? What's your ambitions and goals in life? You got a motor. Let's talk about that. You're always doing something. You've got flair, and we covered that. And well, you know what? I'm on this show too, Mike.
In episode two, we talked a bit about Medfield's history, so I think today maybe we talk a bit about where we envision Medfield in the future.
Okay.
And obviously, you asked me all kinds of questions in the last episode, so this time around, I'm going to put you on the hot seat and have you explain yourself.
I just got off the hot seat. Were you at the press conference?
I was.
Okay.
I enjoyed every second of it.
Right.
All right, so...
A lot of media outlets there.
Yeah,
today.
I was pretty impressed by Medfield, the crowd you drew.
There was Medfield TV.
Yeah.
There was
Hometown Weekly.
Hometown Weekly, The Patch. The New York Times, Boston Globe.
I saw my friend Dave.
Oh, Dave was there.
Yeah.
Yep. It's crazy.
Big crowd.
Yep.
We really did it.
Well, I want everyone to know that I actually do care about people. I do have empathy. I'm learning to have empathy for problems that I used to perceive as inconsequential and insignificant compared to other things in the real world.
Yeah.
All right. So let's do a small town future prediction. Give me one.
I think we're going to get a second Starbucks in town because we talked last episode about the first one opening up. Everybody had a problem with big business coming to town.
Mm-hmm.
The minute it opened, it was all the rage. Everybody goes there. If you want Starbucks to close, all you guys have to do is boycott it for 2 months.
It's just boycott Big Coffee and they're not coming into town.
Right. But, you know, the grievance now, rather than big business came to town, now the grievance is I had to wait 3 minutes longer than I think I should have for my mobile order. So I feel like we're going to get a second Starbucks in town in the not too distant future.
One of mine would be, I want to see this as far as improvements to our downtown area. That building at the corner of North Street and Main Street, where Juice on Main and some of the other businesses are, right there on the corner. Mm-hmm. What is that? That thing is a beautiful, gorgeous. I'm talking about the bones, the structure of this thing. This is a Victorian. It must be 150 years old.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential with it.
There is so much potential. Step one, take the asphalt shingles off the side of the building. Mm. Those go on the roof, okay? Let's put roofing materials on the roof of the building. There's a start.
What would you like to be on the sides?
I think clap. You know what? Take a look at what they did with Avenue, that building. Mm-hmm. Absolutely stunning. Right.
So if you're not from Medfield, Avenue is a restaurant in town. What did it used to be before it was Avenue?
Wasn't it a couple things? There's a hardware store in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was empty maybe beforehand.
But they did a huge renovation on the building and really spruced it up, made it look nice.
Mm-hmm. And now it looks beautiful. It's something that you're proud to have in town.
Mm. Yeah. Let's switch gears, Rick. It's time to talk about you a little bit and not necessarily your opinions. So I know you already apologized and all, but I still have to ask, what's your deal? Do you hate teachers? What's going on here?
Do I hate teachers? Of course I don't. I love them. Yeah, the last hiccup there was a misrepresentation or interpretation of my comments about a teacher's union. And without having to get into it, I'll just reiterate. I believe the union's just a little too big.
Yeah, we're moving on, Rick.
We're moving on to podcasting.
You're on to bigger and better things.
Like this podcast.
You've retired from all social media grievances.
Right.
So
I'll just air them here.
On to better things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Rick. So you were a teacher. You're not anymore. But when I saw your stand-up set right before COVID happened, you had a really great bit about this, so let's just play that clip.
There's something you should know about me. I'm a stay-at-home dad. This happened. Thank you very much. This happened a couple of years ago when my wife and I were looking at our salaries, and then we're doing our taxes. She looks at her salary. She looks at my salary. She says, "I think you'd be helping out the family more if you just stayed at home." So I took the deal, and here we are. This is me getting out of the house. But no, I like it. It is a job now, so when we go on vacation, it's a business trip for me. And, my wife my boss, whatever. She tells me what to do, but you know, the hard thing is entertaining those two little clients of ours. They are terrible. They always leave stuff at the restaurant. They fight on the airplanes. They can't hold their liquor. It's like...
So kids don't come with an instruction.
That's a pretty lackluster return from a clip that was so hilarious. You know, you could have at least, there you go. You're like, uh-huh, okay, that was amusing, Rick. Yeah. Do you have any more cute little joke things that you want to share?
Oh, that's nice.
Dude, that was my best work. It's all downhill from there.
Yeah, it sure is. As a former teacher, are you glad that you're not teaching in times of homeschooling and distance learning and all that?
Well, I am doing that on the end user side of this. You know, just I'm in a situation where I'm a stay-at-home dad. I'm here with my kids. They are here. They need to learn. I have a teaching degree. It's a very fortunate, unique situation where I've been very reliant on the work the teachers have been providing and doing. The guidelines, the direction, the unit, or the lesson of the week, for example, in my son in kindergarten. And I look at that stuff a la carte. I'll pick from it. Oh, we'll do this activity. We're not going to do that activity because we're doing something else or whatever. It's a juggling act. I mean, I've got two kids with various Zoom meeting schedules scheduled all across the week. But if I were the teacher with two kids that I have to teach at home while I'm teaching 100 or 110 kids across five classes in two disciplines, that would be extremely overwhelming. And I was just talking to one of my teacher friends the other day, sympathetically sort of commiserating about the fact that it must be really hard to have to do more work knowing that you're giving a lesser product or service than what you were doing when you had all the resources and when you were in the classroom, when you had that interpersonal connection. So much of learning is the relationship.
And it's amazing how much had to be done on the fly when, you know, teachers are known for preparing lessons for weeks and months. And
exactly.
Getting their curriculum ready.
Yeah. And Mike, to the point about, like, you asked me, what's the beef with teachers? And there is none. I love them. I am one, I guess. I mean, I'm still licensed in the state and can go teach tomorrow if I get a job, but my wife won't let me. She's telling me to stay home.
What do you hope to get out of this podcast, Rick? What's the point of all this? You redid your basement here. You had me come over. Supposedly you're going to feed me dinner later on. Well, that remains to be seen.
Oh, it's tacos tonight, I believe.
Oh, sweet. All right, I'll stay.
Okay.
But so what is all this?
My wife made me invite you too, by the way. She thought it was rude.
I believe
the last time you were here.
Yeah.
She said, "Where are you? Where's Mike?" I said, "He's downstairs editing." And she's like, "He's in our basement?" I'm like, "Yeah." Well, is he going to have dinner with us? I'm like, I didn't ask him. We were just we had our blinders on. We were working.
Well, we didn't. So Rick, we were recording and Rick said, "All right, I got to take a break. I got to go make dinner." I said, "Okay." So I said, I'm going to go home, grab some food and I'll come back and start editing. He said, "Great." About an hour later, I'm in his basement editing. Rick's wife, Leslie, comes down and says, did you want to come upstairs and eat with us?" And I said, "No, I already ate. It's fine. Thanks." And she goes, "Yeah, I mentioned it to Rick and I could tell by the look on his face, he hadn't even invited you." So yeah, that happened. But tonight I'm invited.
It's nice to have people like you and my wife surrounding me, you know, good people. I feel
to
like
you how normal civilized people operate.
I observe and I try to learn, you know, it's much like, well, with parenting, I don't know what I'm doing all the time with parenting, you know, so I just watch what other people do.
You do just do what other people do. In fact, you've talked about, I'm not going to describe it. We'll just play the clip.
I do like parenting styles. I like to look around. I got a little irritated when I was looking at these dog owners that are talking about their dogs like it's their children. I get it, you like them, but to compare your dog to these two animals, you gotta be kidding me. So I was very judgmental until I started watching them, and I noticed a couple of things. First of all, The dog owners were happy. And why not? The dogs were listening. So now I've adopted all of their tricks. When no one's looking and my kids are pissing me off, I just stuff them in a crate. I do. And my son took way too long with the potty training. So I said, screw it. Now I just take him out twice a day. And I do like going around town running errands, you know, like I want to go to Starbucks. I just say, hey kids, hop in the car, we're going to Starbucks. All right, keep your heads outside the window. Keep your seatbelts unbuckled. I look in the rearview mirror, my son's licking his balls, but that's normal. I didn't ruin your appetite there. Enjoy the meatballs. So, we get there to Starbucks and I have a seat. Enjoy my latte, look out the window at my children waiting for me outside, tied to a bench. Thank you, folks. That's my time.
Yeah, so Rick takes his notes on how to parent from dog parents. So
that's... Well, the dog parents are probably nodding their heads in approval right now, saying, damn it, someone gets it.
All right, getting back on track, what do you hope to get out of this podcast? What's the point of all this?
Well, I needed something to do. Mm-hmm. And I was itching to get on stage and get in front of a microphone and perform again. But that scene is dead right now with this quarantine.
How come? Oh, yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah,
so
sure,
there's no restaurants, there's no crowds, there's no audiences. Yeah. There's no entertainment. I would argue that comedians and comics are essential workers. We should be in hospitals walking around in hazmat suits.
Sure. That's debatable, but...
Doing funny stuff.
Yeah.
Slipping on banana peels, whatever it takes.
Well, in fairness, there is still an audience. I mean, I got an email recently from the guy that coordinated your last stand-up show.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Paul Gillespie. He's kind of like, I call him my comedy pimp.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets my work for me and then pays me.
So he sent out a, it's like, I forget, it's called Just a Joke or something, or Joke of the Day, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll send one joke. And I got one a week or two ago, and it had one of your jokes in it, Rick.
Oh.
I mean, I deleted it. I didn't watch it. I was already there at the actual show. I was like, I don't need this in my life.
I'm
going to sit through this twice.
Yeah. Already seen that rodeo.
Yeah. Incidentally, by the way, so I bought the tickets for Allie and I to go to this show.
Which, by the way, was the second show, the late show.
The late show.
Because we sold out the first show.
Yeah. Well, don't fluff yourself too much. It wasn't that big of a
venue. I don't fluff anybody, actually.
So, Allie and I get the tickets, and we show up at this show. Nobody checked tickets. Nobody asked us for any information. We just walked in. They said, are you here for the comedy show? I said, yeah. They said, great, it's over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking into a room of a restaurant. You guys took $40. I didn't need to pay for that.
Did you laugh?
Yeah. No one cares. Nobody asked for this podcast, but you insisted on making it, and here we are.
Well, we had some free time.
Yeah, too much of it.
Totally.
So, what are you hoping to do for the next episode moving forward? What are we doing here?
Yeah. Well, this third episode kind of concludes our
little mini
introductory mini-series. The first one, this is Small Town Scuttlebutt. Second one, Meet Mike. Third one, Meet Rick. I think the real fun begins next week when the show format kicks in. You know, we're going to have segments in it that are going to be regular bits. You know what? I am literally going to go to Leanne Bravo's house and drag her in here because we need to renegotiate this contract.
Yeah, she's done nothing yet. I will say, I noticed earlier today she liked four things on our Facebook page.
Oh, that's good.
So
that's
she's
good. So she's a slacktivist.
Yeah,
good
she's
for you.
Starting to make some effort.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. We'll get her in here. We'll talk about. Actually, I want to mend fences with her.
That was another episode of Small Town Scuttlebutt, the only podcast that reacts to the overreaction of other people reacting to small town problems. If you like what you heard, please tell a friend. Small Town Scuttlebutt is released every Thursday. Rick Fink Jr. and Mike Page are mismanaged by the Bravo Talent Group. Send your comments, questions, and grievances to these guys through Leanne Bravo. Email her at bravo1@smalltownscuttlebutt.com and she'll probably get back to you eventually. Check them out on Facebook too, and thanks for listening.